Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Wendy Wilson will be here shortly to fill us in on all kinds of things regarding your health, how to stay healthy, and she's got a great product. So if you haven't talked to Wendy Wilson, make sure you give her a call after the program today. Good afternoon, good afternoon, Al.
Good afternoon, Melody.
It's just been one of those days.
You mean like a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, Friday?
No. It's just been a little
one
more hectic. It's been a little bit more hectic today. Here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, people are still taking advantages of the silver. We have great buys on the 1 ounce silver kangaroos, so they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Let's go ahead and get right to the prices so we can bring Wendy on the program. Gold today has done another pressure day on gold, 1160 to the downside at $1,117. Silver's down 9 cents today at $14.65. Platinum was down $8 at $913, and palladium was down $5 at $656. The USDX today, of course, is stronger, 0.39, 96.30. Crude oil higher by 11 cents, 45.34. And paper markets today, they're liking the last day of September, the last day of the third quarter, up 235 points. They need a little bit of window dressing come these quarterly statements, you know, so they're not really being creamed. 16,284, the NASDAQ, up 102 points, 2.25% at 46.20. S&P up 35 at 19.20. 10-year yield, 2.06. Euro, 1.12, down 0.67. And, of course, the world is just happy once again. London and Germany both up big, over 2%. Japan was up almost 3%. And we'll tackle the markets and some interesting stories when we get back from the first break today. Right now, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're having some technical difficulties.
Which is a euphemism for somebody messed up.
Is sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the last time I believe she was on, there was a little bit of a problem not connecting. That was just she was muted for some reason. Well, but hey, let's go ahead and until she gets on. There's going to be some changes in the healthcare.
Yeah.
It does show that she is connected, but we do not hear her.
Okay, well, we've made a first step here. We have a connection, we just don't have sound. Do you know what it sounds like to me? Somebody's got a mute button besides you, Melody. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
this is evidence. This has something to do with women having headsets. It's kind of like women drivers and women headset operators. I think maybe that's what's happening here.
Maybe. But until they get that problem settled, we can talk about the healthcare overhaul. It's calling for a 40% tax starting in 2018. And there's going to be lots of changes coming for corporations, and there's going to be changes in people that get insurance from their employees. Is she there yet?
No, but Frank has taken responsibility.
Well,
Does he have an insurance policy to cover these kinds of problems?
Anyway, so
hello. Are we on?
Yes, we are.
We are.
Go ahead,
now.
Wendy.
Awesome. Technology is fab, isn't it? How's everybody?
It usually is, but every once in a while, it reminds you that it's not perfect.
Okay, well, I thought we'd talk about something really weird, and you may have experienced it, Melanie and Al. You ever experienced your blood run cold? It feels like ice water running through your veins?
I saw Dracula one time. Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr.,
okay.
Is that what we're talking about?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. Some people experience this feeling as if their blood's running cold through their body. It is a very strange sensation, and it may make people feel more anxious. But in a majority of the cases, it's a very temporary sensation. It doesn't last very long. It's gone in a few moments. So when this happens, do you think we should have cause for alarm, or is this a good or bad thing? Or is there maybe some sort of strange health condition we should be worried about? So next time it happens, though, you might want to notice the situation you find yourself in, because that may be the key. Now, according to science, the human body freezes at 23 to 28 degrees Fahrenheit. However, in this instance, we're not talking about hypothermia or the blood literally freezing. Science states that you could experience the sensation of your blood feeling cold. It's a protective mechanism, they say. So when you're frightened, as you mentioned, Al, or you may be in a life or death situation, the body releases hormones into the blood, epinephrine and cortisol. So when these hormones meet, there's this chemical reaction that takes place, and it sends a message throughout the body to react quickly. And this message has a metabolism shift. So the metabolism shifts, like digestion will stop and more energy through the blood and oxygen will go to your muscles, your heart, brains, and lung. So you feel much stronger when that happens, stronger than normal, and you probably heard it described as a fight or flight response. So this all makes sense, but you know, it still doesn't tell me what the cold sensation is in the veins. Do you want to take a guess, Al, what it is?
I imagine, I don't believe that your blood is actually cold, so it's got to be, I assume it has to be something psychosomatic. It's in your mind more so than actually in your brains, but that's just a guess. What's the answer?
Well, according to science, when those hormones are released, you have that chemical reaction. It also restricts some of the arteries of your body, so it's called vasoconstriction arterioles. And what this does is it boosts your blood pressure in a skinny minute really quickly, and that causes that cold sensation that you feel. So it's basically to, get you ready for some sort of emergency reaction, and your blood pressure is, you know, sped up. So if you get scared, science says you could experience this cold-blooded sensation. And I wondered if this was the same thing adrenaline junkies go for, you know? But science says no, not really. You can be scared maybe riding a roller coaster, skydiving, or watching a scary movie like you mentioned, Al. But the situation for your blood to run cold, your brain has to perceive that you're about to lose control of a situation, and that's going to initiate that cold-blooded feeling.
This is kind of like Janet Yellen then. Her blood ran cold when she was giving that speech last week.
Well, I was even curious as to what level of scared would make your blood run cold. So now I'm telling you, science has got this down. They said that the requirement would be that your brain has to perceive something terrifying. So the medical textbooks describe that level of fear as, quote, dread bordering on hysteria or a sense of impending destruction, end of quote. So
kind of like if my ex-wife showed up.
Now, Al. Okay, now, if you ever had a bad dream, now this is interesting too. If you had to have a bad dream where someone close to you becomes fatally injured or you lose them, you may wake up feeling like your blood's running cold, you know. So your brain interprets this, your subconscious interprets this as real and terrifying, so that's why that happens. So, but when you wake up, you go, oh, that was just an awful dream, and then the chilliness goes away, so your blood pressure drops and you go back to normal. So when you get these cold sensations like that, you could also be very anxious. You know, people with, anxiety disorders can feel this on a regular basis because they often feel like they're losing control of a situation and they're fearful. So a flood of emotions is a flood of chemicals. So different emotions can bring about different chemical reactions in our body. Now, science has actually tested our tears, Al, Melanie, to find different chemicals in them because they are a product of different emotions like joy, relief, pain, gladness. So, for instance, tears of joy contain what is called oxytocin. It's a hormone, whereas tears of sadness do not. And also, emotional tears contain more protein, whereas if you were cutting an onion, that's irritant tears, and they will have 30 times more manganese. So,
manganese.
Yeah. So science says they've learned that emotional tears, emotional tears contain more lubricants, hormones, and salt. So, if you're sad, bereavement, that kind of thing, your tears will have more lubricants and hormones and salt. So if you have ever experienced a feeling of helplessness, this will produce a different set of chemicals. And the blood may feel cold, but you won't have that fight or flight sensation. So instead, you may experience a sensation of head pressure instead with the cold-bloodedness, but it's not a headache. The sensation in the head can produce an overwhelming feeling of emotions, and then you can't think straight. You just can't focus. So some people may even be hyperventilate at that point and could be described as them having an anxiety attack. So situations of anxiety, people usually, grab some sort of drug to calm their nerves, but it's really only addressing a symptom and not the cause. So when anxiety, when the body interprets the situation as stressful and in some cases even fearful and anxious, if your body's anxious, you could break out into a cold sweat. Have you ever experienced that, Al?
No, not really, and I've never experienced my blood running cold either. In fact, I'd always thought that was just sort of an old wives' tale or whatever.
No.
I'm surprised to even learn that that's a real phenomena.
Yes,
that surprised
it is.
Me.
I've experienced it when I had a bad dream, where someone close to me died. And I kind of came out of the dream almost in a sobbing state. It felt so real to me. And I, when I woke up, I felt like my blood was on the chilly side, so it was weird. But if you break out into a cold sweat, actually you also have more adrenaline hormone in the blood, and it tends to heat up the surface temperature of your body. And then when it hits the air, it cools off, and this is what produces that cold sweat feeling. Now, a common emotion before that kicks in is anxiety or fear, And some people will get, you ever hear people say, I had a cold chill up the spine?
Yeah, I think I understand what they mean there.
Yeah, well, usually fear can bring that on, or something very unpleasant. Medical science is really not completely sure what causes that sensation, but they think it may be also involving adrenaline release. Now, people with anxiety, panic attacks, obsessive disorders tend to be more sensitive to environmental conditions and temperature changes. So majority of people really don't notice these changes. And medical science states that obsessive compulsive disorders and stuff, this is kind of a side effect condition for them. So people with anxiety may interpret a change in cooler temperatures in the room as an indication of something's wrong. So someone with anxiety disorder and there's a 2-degree cooler temperature flux can experience a whole body shiver, whereas the majority of people wouldn't even notice, or at the most, they would just grab their sweater. So it's just weird. Now, have you ever checked your anxiety level, Al?
Well, I wouldn't know how to exactly.
Okay. Well, if the folks signed up for the newsletter that goes out, the American Survival Newsletter, there's a hyperlink in there for an anxiety test, so they can sign up at thepowerherbs.com or on Discount Gold and Silver Trading's website. But what it is you're going to go to calmclinic.com, and there's a very brief anxiety test. It's free, and only take you 5 minutes. And you want your score to be below a 40, okay? So I took it, and I got two scores. One was a 7, and one was a 3. So I'm on the almost not anxious radar there. So, but
that's un-American. You don't understand what's going on then, do you?
Well, the thing
I mean,
is,
if you're not anxious under current circumstances, you're not paying attention. That's all.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I do understand that, you know, it's okay to be concerned, but worry is not going to be doing us any good. And worry can lead to fear, and I don't want fear to rule over my emotions. And, you know, God says be concerned, but don't worry. So, you know, we're promised a sound mind if we draw near to the Lord and pray. So I do that. And also God's herbs. He has some herbs, too, that help with, you know, panic attacks and stress. And I like to use valerian root. It really does calm down your nervous system without sedating you, because it has a natural calcium, which helps with the serotonin and the neurotransmitters in your brain. So it's a non-toxic, non-chemical, no side effect way of dealing with anxious situations. If you need a little bit more calcium, there is also another plant-based calcium that we make called calcium formula, and that's at thepowerherbs.com. So just a non-toxic, inexpensive way to deal with stress and anxiety. And if they would like a catalog, you could call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. 3663, or go to the website, thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. If we get a cold chill, we will absolutely give you a call. We'll give you a call anyway.
Okay.
Wendy Wilson, thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. We're going to take a break now for some commercials, and Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663.
International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, a lot of people took advantage of purchasing those 1 ounce gold buffaloes yesterday. And remember, folks, we still have silver kangaroos that are available. You can purchase them in boxes of 215. And we also have some great prices on some $20 gold pieces. And tomorrow we'll start October 1st with specials for October. We're just going to let September settle out. It was an interesting month, but certainly the impact of, you know, it's real interesting now. You know, we talk about all these events that were projected to happen for September and so forth, and Nario 1 did appear. And, you know, I see that in coin purchases. I've seen the buildup to September, and once these events did not occur, it's like, okay, all the problems are gone, so now we don't have to worry anymore. And that is the problem when these folks have all, and these folks can do a lot of good as far as educating some of the things that we face economically and so forth, but yet these projections and predictions, when they don't come true, really hurt people. And so it's interesting, and I saw that in our business in September. And folks, you have to concentrate on the true fundamentals of gold and silver. They won't steer you wrong. The day of reckoning is coming. It's around the corner, and hopefully you preserve your wealth by purchasing gold and silver. It's interesting, today already we see now on the mainstream media and so forth, they're trying to find their next little niche to where they can, you know, rob people of more money. Today you had Christine Lagarde come out of the IMF. She's the managing director of the IMF, and she's predicting a moderate rebound in growth in some of the advanced economies like the U.S., Europe, and Japan. Some of your emerging economies are going to experience a fifth consecutive year of slowing. But what she did say was the bright spot, excuse me, the bright spot at everything was going to be India. Yet I can't tell you how much and how over the past week or so, the talk of India and how great India was going to be. And so it's just a...
It's the modern China, you know.
Really?
Yeah, they give us all the talk about how great China was going to be, and how China's turned out to be something of a paper tiger. And now they're going to tell us how great India's going to be.
How great India's
going to
be.
And where is that going to go?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is just absurd. And
it really is.
The truth of the matter is, yeah, come on.
I know, but it just shows you how strong this internet, how big the cartel is, how big these bank, how big of a push it is to keep these illusions going, and working with not just our Wall Street in New York, but the financial markets around the world. I mean, it's just they want every last dime that people have, and this is part of the conditioning of the people, you know, thinking that, hey, if the U.S. will fail, maybe we can get, you know, some interest in India. But there is a meeting that is held next week in Peru, Lima, and it's marking the first time in 48 years that the annual meetings of the two international lending agencies will be held in Latin America. And so she did talk a little bit
about trouble.
Yeah, and it did talk a little bit how China consumes about 60% of the world's production of iron ore, which I thought was quite a bit. 60%.
Well, it's a huge amount, but
huge
how
amount.
Much do they ship out, and how much do they keep in China? You know, whether they consume it or they merely process it is an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just taking iron ore, turning it into steel girders or steel whatever, and then moving it on to other countries, you know, that's not the same thing as consuming precisely. I mean, they're not the final consumer in a sense. They're just a manufacturer, intermediate point.
Correct. So she was interviewed this morning, and those were her concerns also about, of course, the rising U.S. interest rates and a stronger dollar that could actually reveal currency mismatches and lead to corporate defaults. So if we could only be so lucky that we have some of those corporate defaults. But I came across another article, Al, that I thought was interesting. I brought up Whole Foods. They were laying off a bunch of people. And certainly Whole Foods has been accused of charging too high of prices, basically, just, you know, for their food that they serve in their grocery stores and so forth. They're just, taking it, the buyers of their food to the cleaners. But what's interesting is they're going to stop selling products. This is Whole Foods, made using a prison labor program.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? And this is down. This is there was a protest at one of its stores down in Texas, and they sell tilapia, trout, and goat cheese that is produced through a Colorado inmate program. And this has been going on since 2011. Now, I knew they use inmates for a lot of things other than just making license plates. I mean, there was it was a huge thing, exposure to this, going back to where these inmates were customer service for credit card companies.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And taking orders.
They were working the phones. Well, that was before they hired Indians. It was before they outsourced to India. It's essentially created a third world source of labor here within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't necessarily have third world people working in the prisons, but we do have third world wages being paid. And maybe not even that. And that's the object of the problem.
They were paid 74 cents to $4 a day. So, and again, as I mentioned, they use the government used them for a license plate and so forth. But however, this was Whole Foods that are using the prison. And I almost had to laugh at this. There was an annual report. The Colorado correctional industry said it employed more than 1,800 inmates with the goal of doubling the program over the next decade. It said more than 80% of inmates with at least 6 months' experience remain out of jail a year after release, compared with the national average of 62%. So, I mean, is this something? It doesn't mean that they don't go back to jail. It says they're just out of jail for a whole year. It's like, you know, what does it really do for these?
What they're saying, though, nevertheless, they're saying that a lot of people are in prison. A significant number are there because they really don't know how to work. It's not whether they can work, they can't work, they don't know how to work. And I can tell you that I remember I grew up, my stepdad had an excavation business back in Illinois when I grew up. And I learned how to work hard from him. Right? The man would have used a whip on the job if it was legal. He was always yelling and shouting. And he was an extraordinary hard worker himself. And we grew up working that job, and you'd better be running. You didn't stand around lollygag. When the old man was off the job, there better be nothing needed to be done. When he came back, you were standing around. You were in a bunch of trouble if there was work that needed to be done. And when you finished doing one thing, you ran to the next. And I tell you, I loved it. And it, the education of learning how to work hard as a child and even a young man, it served me well throughout my lifetime. And I feel sorry for people who don't have, that aren't raised in circumstances where they learn how to work hard. And I know a lot of kids don't. And without that knowledge, you need that knowledge. You need to know how to work hard. Most people think you just show up for the job and you hang out from 9 to 5 and then you go home and on Friday you get your check. That's not what it's all about. And I don't think people get it to the same degree that we did when I was a young man.
Well, you know, Al, a lot of that is taught, too. I remember, you know, my grandfather, he worked hard. He was a poor man. He didn't have his own business, but he worked hard. My mother worked hard. My uncles worked hard. My father worked hard. I mean, this was something that we saw and we followed and we reproduced it. And certainly we have seen the changes as, you know, the desire to work hard anymore. I mean, we've been conditioned to believe.
It's not just the desire, it's the capacity. People don't get it. Like, why should I work hard? That's crazy. You know, they regard it as something crazy. You're going to find out those people in this country who don't know how to work hard and don't appreciate the need to do so, the time is coming when they're going to be at an enormous disadvantage. They're going to have to learn that skill, that attitude. They're going to have to learn it at a time when they are perhaps desperate just to feed themselves and their family. And it's going to be very, very hard on them. Now, I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, if you got yourself a job, now's the time to start busting your butt. And it's not a question of necessarily getting paid for the effort. It's not a question of just putting money in your boss's pocket or whatever. It's a question of training yourself in the same way you learn how to work in a gym. All right? Learn, go do that workout. Get into aerobics and rest of it. You've got to condition yourself and where you can grab on naturally to the concept of working hard. And if you can, it may help you a great deal in very difficult times. If you can't get that, if you don't kind of practice that in the first place, where, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. I can work hard. I can handle that. If you don't know that, you don't know what you can do, you're at a big disability if things really become difficult.
What's next, Al?
I don't know. We've got an article here that's got a series of articles that deal with the issue of money. Here's Dennis Hastert. He was the former Speaker of the House, Republican from Illinois. He got caught by the government, the FBI. Hastert agreed to pay someone $3.4 million to whom he discussed past misconduct. And in the process, this misconduct was sexual abuse of kids, apparently, while he was a high school wrestling coach. And at least one of those he's allegedly, according to this article, he was at a bank withdrawing $1.7 million out of his bank account. It was used to cover up payouts to an unnamed male with whom he had an illegal sexual relation while working as a teacher and wrestling coach at high school in Yorkville, Illinois. There's 1.7 he allegedly did pay out, another 3.4 million that he was planning to pay out. The article isn't clear But one of the things is, where's this guy come up with an extra $5 million that you can pay out in bribes? Presumably, he has significant amount of capital beyond $5 million. But because nobody's, not many people at least, are likely to be bribed down to their last dollar. And he got caught. The government spotted him because he was trying to withdraw the money out of the bank account in big chunks, and the government became, they noticed that, and that's why they came in and investigated, and one thing led to another, and he is at least threatened with prison right now. Well, the question is, what this all brings to mind is, where did the Speaker of the House come up with an extra $5 million in his bank account? He's a former wrestling coach. He was a state legislator for Illinois. Right, which tells us a whole bunch right off the top. I mean, if you can't learn how to take bribes in Illinois, where can you learn? And then he went on to Congress and apparently took more bribes. So we're talking about a lot of money for the Speaker of the House. And they're going to probably cut a deal to prevent him from going to prison. And I think the basis of the deal is that if he is forced to expose all he knows about his money in one thing or another, he's going to wind up implicating other people that are there. It may even have something to do with Boehner resigning in the last week. It may be that the Hassert probe, one way or another, if it goes out of control, maybe it implicates John Boehner, the current Speaker, Republican Speaker of the House. I'm not saying that's true. I don't know. But it may be that's part of the reason he said, that's it, I'm out of here. He's going to try to get clear of the whole thing. Maybe. Maybe not. I've got a second one here on committee. Planned Parenthood grossed $1.3 billion, spends nearly $14,000 a day on travel. This is from the Washington Examiner. And they've had a committee, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, had a hearing on Planned Parenthood, and they concluded that the organization does so well financially that federal funding isn't necessary. They don't need federal funding. According to this, they gross $1.3 billion per year. They have assets of $1.4 billion. They are self-sustaining. Some of the officials earn in excess of $200,000. The group spends $14,000 a day on travel. Travel. 14 grand a day. That's a lot of airline tickets. You can buy yourself a couple of jets. You know, to handle that, this is a mystery, but the point is Planned Parenthood doesn't need federal subsidies. It's self-sustaining. $1.3 billion a year is their gross revenue. They're $127 million a year net income. President Cecil Richards has paid more than almost $2.5 million from 2009 to 2013, including $590,000 in 2013. Significant number of Planned Parenthood executives make over $200,000 annually. Planned Parenthood spends millions on travel. Who's travel? $14,000 a day equals $5 million a year for travel. That cost of travel wouldn't be incurred by making contributions to politicians who support Planned Parenthood, would it? There's too much money banging around in Planned Parenthood coffers for politicians not to demand some sort of political campaign contributions, a.k.a. bribes, a.k.a. kickbacks, it's reasonable to suppose somebody else is making money. And the point beyond this, and I've got a third article when we get back from this break, I've got a third article dealing with Hillary Clinton, and again, talks about there are massive amounts of money sloshing around up at the upper echelons of government. And we're going to get into it. We'll talk about it a little more when we get back and wonder, where's this money coming from and where is it going to? I'm Alfred Adask. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And we're talking about how much money is sloshing around at the upper echelons of government. Here's an article by Forbes. And the headline is "The Mystery of Hillary's Missing Millions." Sounds like a TV drama or a movie or whatever, movie of the week. It starts out, it says, since Bill and Hillary Clinton left the White House in 2001, they have earned more than $230 million. Now, that averages out to about $15 million a year and over $1 million per month. Note that although Bill and Hillary left the White House in 2001, they, that is to say Hillary, didn't leave politics. Hillary continued to serve as U.S. Senator from New York from 2001 to 2009. During that time, the salaries she paid to U.S. senator ranged up to $175,000 a year. During her eight years in the Senate, Hillary should have grossed perhaps $1.4 million. The salary was changing, but $1.4 million is tops. In 2009, Hillary gave up her seat as senator to become Secretary of State until 2013. All right? The annual base salary of Secretary of State is $186,000 right now. During the 5 years as Secretary of State, Hillary might have grossed almost $1 million. Since 2013, Hillary has been unemployed. This implies that since Hillary left the White House in 2001, she has personally earned about $2.4 million out of the $230 million that she and Bill have earned together. That means Bill Clinton has earned about $228 million. During the same time, Hillary earned $2.4 million. Bill Clinton earned about 95 times as much as Hillary, if we can believe the numbers, since they went out of the White House in 2001. Now, Bill Clinton's $228 million divided by 15 years averages out to about $15 million per year, about $42,000 per day. Bill has written a couple of books, made speeches, but who believes he averaged an honest $42,000 for each and every day for the past 15 years? It's obvious that the Clintons have another source of income besides Bill's books and speeches and Hillary's salaries. what was that other source of income? Insofar as the source of their income is unknown, at least currently, we are led to presume that a major source of their income was based on hidden and therefore potentially criminal activity. The article continues. It says, but in federal filings, Clinton's claim they are worth somewhere between $11 million and $53 million. Now, what are we talking about here? Somewhere between $11 million and $53 million? How likely is it that two lawyers as avaricious as Bill and Hillary Clinton don't really know whether they're worth $11 million or $53 million or somewhere in between? We're not simply talking about a difference of $42 million, which today we kind of dismiss. We're used to talking about billions and trillions of dollars. $42 million doesn't impress us. We're talking about the difference of 500%. $53 million, they say, maybe you're worth $53 million. That's five times or nearly five times as much as the $11 million. Well, we're at least worth $11 million. We might be worth $55 million or $53 million. It's almost a 500% difference. Right? If I ask anyone in this audience, what is your net worth? There are some people who say, well, I'm worth $250,000, somewhere between $250,000 and maybe $350,000. But who is going to tell me I'm worth somewhere between $1 million and $5 million? Right? The idea of how much money you're worth is there's a certain amount of flexibility and imprecision there. But 500%? How is it that a couple of attorneys, and again, I'm going to guess that they're counting their nickels and dimes. They could tell you right down to the penny what they've got and what they're worth, and yet they're claiming somewhere between $11 and $53 million. All right? It's implausible. Article continues. It says, after layering years of disclosures on top of annual tax returns, Forbes, the magazine, the author of this article, estimates their combined net worth is at $45 million. And they ask, where did all the money go? No one seems to know, and the Clintons aren't offering any answers. From 2001 to 2014, the power couple spent $95 million on taxes. Remember, they grossed allegedly $230 million. They spent $95 million on taxes. Hillary's presidential run cost her $13 million. Their two homes cost a combined $5 million. And the Clintons have given away $22 million to charity? That make any sense to you? Do the Clintons seem like the kind of people who would hand out $22 million to charity? As you're going to see, it may or may not be charity that they're handing the money to. All of this is according to Federal Election Commission filings, property records, and years of tax returns. Add it up and you get $135 million. Clinton's got, they took in $230 million. They spent $135 million on taxes and different charitable contributions and whatever. If the Clintons made, the article continues, it says if the Clintons made $230 million, spent $135 million and have just $45 million left, what happened to the other $50 million? $50 million are not showing up in this equation. Right? And Clintons aren't saying. According to Joe Biden's accountant, he says, gee, that's kind of strange. That's Walter Deli. You have to report all your assets. You have to report your assets that are owned by your spouse. I presume it means if you're running for president and or if you're occupying office as Secretary of State. It occurs to me, what if the Clintons were supplementing their income by taking huge bribes? If you live in a world where you can take bribes, you can bet you also live in a world where you must pay bribes. Could it be that the price of collecting, say, I'm just speculating here, the price of collecting $100 million in bribes from inferiors in order to get $100 million from some people, get certain things done, you got to pay $50 million to other people to get that stuff done. Is that what's happened? Is that where the missing $50 million went to? Paying bribes? Article, where could the money have disappeared? Clintons have been speaking around the world for years. And they count millions in travel expenses under their businesses. It's unclear whether they've paid for additional travel expenses out of their own pockets. It seems unlikely, but they could have given it away overseas. Donations to foreign charities are not deductible and would not be listed on tax returns. All right? If donations to foreign charities, not American charities, foreign charities are not deductible or listed on tax returns, it strikes me that such foreign charities might be an ideal way of paying bribes. Suppose Dennis Hastert had set up a foreign charity. Could he have received bribes through that foreign charity without running afoul of the IRS? In the end, former Speaker of the House Hastert is not going to be charged for child molestation. He's been charged for violating tax laws and lying to investigators. Having a foreign charity might have helped Hastert to avoid going to prison. If foreign charities aren't taxable under U.S. tax laws, are U.S. charities also exempt from taxation in foreign countries? If so, if a foreign government or foreign corporation wanted to bribe Secretary of State Clinton to perform some act, or if they wanted to bribe her to influence others to perform some act, those foreigners might have deposited a contribution into a U.S. charity like the Clinton Foundation. Conversely, the Clintons might be able to pay bribes to foreign special interests under the guise of making charitable contributions to a foreign charity run by those foreign interests. Earlier in this article, Forbes alleged that the Clintons had given away $22 million in charity. Does that make sense to you? $22 million is nearly 10% of the $230 million the Clintons have reportedly grossed in the past 15 years. Do you believe the Clintons believe in tithing? Huh? Is that what they're doing? They're secretly highly religious and they're giving away 10% of their income? $22 million given to charity is equal to 200% of the Clintons' current minimum net worth of $11 million. They say we're worth between $11 and $53 million. That's 200% of the minimum net worth they might be worth. It's 40% of the maximum net worth of $53 million. Does anyone really believe the Clintons are that giving? Wouldn't it be interesting to see how much the $22 million the Clintons donated to charity was donated to foreign charities? Wouldn't it be interesting to see who owned and controlled such foreign charities and figure out which of any of those owners of foreign charities had performed and performed favors for the Clintons and or for parties that the Clintons represented? Wouldn't it be interesting to consider if this whole foreign charity thing was really just a tax loophole to allow legalized payment of bribes on an international level? If anyone does a serious analysis of the Clintons' money trail, I'll bet they discover that Bill and Hillary Clinton have worked together to take and give bribes to and from special interests all over the world, and they've been funneled through the Clinton Foundation. That's my guess. I don't have evidence to support that. But if 50 million are missing, 50 million! You don't just say, gee, what did I do with that? Did I leave that under the mattress on the bed, or where did I put that $50 million? Anybody see my $50 million? You don't do that. You don't lose $50 million. If we followed it and we understood where the $50 million was, I think we'd find, again, they have used it as part of the bribe giving and taking process that I suspect is taking place through the Clinton Foundation. American special interests could send a check to the Clinton Foundation, a U.S. charity, and deduct the amount of that check, deduct the amount of that bribe from their income tax. All right? You give to charity, that's tax deductible gift if you're giving it to a charity, at least a U.S. charity. They could give it to the Clinton Foundation, and they wouldn't run afoul of the IRS. All right? The people who gave it could deduct it. I don't know that they'd have to report it on their income tax. I guess they would to take the deduction. But the Clintons could then forward that money to another charity overseas, and they wouldn't even have to report doing so. They'd have to report the money they received from U.S. contributors. but they might not have to report the money that comes in from foreign contributors, and they don't have to report whatever they're paying to foreign charities. And the point I'm getting to is that a close analysis of the Clintons, their foundation, and their charitable contributions will probably show that the Clintons are running a substantial bribery and money laundering operation that allows the paying of bribes under the pretext of making charitable contributions. I have little evidence to base on which to base that conclusion and suspicion. All right? But $50 million has disappeared. Now, where is it? You don't just lose $50 million. And when nobody's answering the questions they said elsewhere in the article, Clintons aren't answering questions about this. The way you lose $50 million is by doing something illegal, unethical, whatever, improper. And you don't say where it went because you don't want people to find out. I have a hunch that there are $22 million in charitable contributions. I don't put the I don't see the Clintons as being particularly charitable. I could be mistaken, but I don't think that's true. I think that's a cover for making contributions to foreign charities and that are not tax deductible, not reportable, but still, because they're legal, you're not going to get caught up by the IRS. I have a strong suspicion the Clintons have devised a way of essentially laundering money, laundering bribes. Somebody need to be bribed? Call Bill Clinton. Call Hillary. They'll run it through their foundation. Donate it to this guy if he's got his own foreign charitable trust. Donate it to his foreign charitable trust. All work out. You can deduct the bribe. You can deduct your bribe from your income tax as a charitable contribution to the Clinton Foundation. Clintons can send the money overseas. They don't have to report it. They don't have to pay taxes on it. I think that may be what's happened in this particular instance. And I agree that it's speculation, that I can't prove what I just said, but still, it really does. It quacks like a duck. So, what do you think, Melody? Do you think it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, hangs out with other birds? What do you think?
Well, certainly, you know, Forbes did bring this to the forefront, and you know, they're even questioning the amount that Donald Trump has. You know, Donald Trump says he has $10 billion. You know, Forbes is saying they have $5 billion. So, I mean, sometimes the numbers, but, you know, we all know that,
I agree,
you know,
500%.
Bill and Hillary certainly doesn't have, you know, we all know their reputation. We all know where they came from. We all know where they went. And there's
no
investigation.
We all have a pretty good idea where they're going,
the problem
at least
is,
if you subscribe to the Christian faith.
But there's no investigations. There's no allegations of wrongdoing.
But I think there's going to be.
You know, so,
I think Hillary,
like,
made an enormous mistake running for president. I think it's going to attract so much attention. I think she just might wind up investigated, a real investigation. If that takes place, she's going to wish to God she'd just gone home and play with her grandchild rather than run for the presidency. We'll watch and see, but we're out of time. These are questions we will leave for tomorrow or the day after or whenever. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.